We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Okay. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host, Tina Dobbs. My daughter Josie's over there running the iPad this morning. And our guest is Pastor Tim Patterson.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. Good to be with you today.
Good to see you. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can comment on the Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and when we get our technical difficulties resolved, I will be uploading them to the website. If you'd like entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of August, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, contact them. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all.
All righty.
Would you like to pray to start us out?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to get into your word, to be able to look at your word and apply it to our own lives. We pray that today, that as your word goes forward, that it would encourage and challenge our hearts today. Let us be changed by your word and let your gospel go forth. Meet the needs that are represented by those that are listening in right now, whatever those needs may be, whether financial, physical, spiritual, emotional, mental needs, whatever their needs are. We pray that you would just minister to them and meet their needs according to your will and according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, The Church the World Forgot.
So The Church the World Forgot. I know that doesn't sound like an overly encouraging title to start out. Like, you know, let's start out on a negative note, right? If you have ever read the book of Colossians, there's some great stuff in the book of Colossians. It is an epistle that really, really emphasizes the divinity, the deity, the preeminence of Christ. Paul made much of Christ in that epistle. And it's an excellent epistle, and I encourage you to read it. But I wanted to kind of just give a little bit of backdrop, to the writing, that Paul did to the Colossian church. This church, was, in the city of Colossae. Colossae was at one time really the epicenter of activity. It was known for its crimson dye. It was able to make that there through the river. It was a budding place of industry. It was a very, very prominent city for many, many, many years. Then in 14 AD, it was hit by an earthquake that affected it and two other cities about 6 miles on each side of it. Laodicea at one side, I'm sure many of us have heard of that, and you know of the Laodicean church even. And then Hierapolis on the other side. Hierapolis was kind of the medical city. It was known for its medicinal values, mineral pools, and different things like that. And so it became every town has its medical street, right? I mean, around here, it's kind of Third Street, you know, it's kind of that or this part of Main Street is the Vision Center of Elk City. Basically, all the eye doctors, right, are right there. But it was kind of the medical side. And then Laodicea had really began to become the new hub for industry and different things. It became the Dallas of that area, or the Oklahoma City, if you will, of that area. And so what began to happen after an earthquake, some of their industry began to go away. And so Colossae, that at one time was an epicenter of activity, began to go in decline in its number of people residing in it, and its economic, it was facing economic downturn. It was physically going through things. It had been hit, remember, 14 AD by earthquake, but then again in 60 AD, shortly before Paul's letter arrives to them, it was hit by another earthquake. So it had been hit hard physically, economically, spiritually. This church, this city was in a spiritually diverse, I would say, idolatrous culture. They had people, there were multiple cultures there that were known for worshiping idols. And so you just see that this little town is in decline. If you were to go down Main Street, it would be like much of our small towns that we've seen over the years. If you live in one, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that half of Main Street's boarded up. The other businesses that are there are struggling sometimes. If we were to place this town in rural Oklahoma, we would know that it would never experience the despair. It would never know the joy of seeing the Hot Now sign over a Krispy Kreme in its on any of its streets. It's not happening. And nor would this town ever know the despair of not being able to get Chick-fil-A on Sunday, because they can't get it Monday through Saturday. You know, so we see this writing from Paul. Paul, here's a town that has essentially become nothing more than a name on an exit sign off the interstate to most people. Most people don't know it exists. They're like, oh, there's a town that way. Don't know anything about it. Could care less. It's a town that really the world has forgotten. And here's a church right in the middle of a town that the world has forgotten. It's a place that the world forgot. But under the unction of the Holy Ghost, Paul picks up the pen of a writer while in prison and writes a letter to a church that he had no part in. He did not help establish this church. This was likely a church established by Epaphras. Likely this church was meeting in the house of one called Philemon, because this letter to Colossae and the personal letter to Philemon were written at the same time and probably sent at the same time there to Colossae. And so under the unction of the Holy Ghost, Paul picks up the pen and begins to write to a church that the world forgot. And so the first thing that we know is that there is no such thing as a church that's too small. God doesn't forget his church. God knows just exactly where his church. So I want to encourage you, if you're a part of a small church, know that God hadn't forgot about you. To the world, many had forgotten him. But to God, that church was important. You know how else that church was important to? The people that were hearing the gospel and giving their lives to Christ, and it was changing their life. That was that church in Colossae was a priceless jewel to them. So under that divine unction of the Holy Ghost, he writes to a church that is located right in the middle of decline, but encourages them. And he writes to them with such uplifting words, such powerful words, such Christ-honoring, Christ-lifting words. And I want to read and so when Paul writes to them, I want us to see that what Paul wrote to the Colossian church in 60 AD is just as true for us today as it was for them. And that we can see that the gospel is as good for 20 as it is for 3,000. And so there was some things going on in the Colossian church at that time, and I promise we'll get into the Bible here in just a minute. I don't like to preach without taking. I don't like to do anything without taking the text. But obviously, we'll be in the book of Colossians today. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise. Just a few things that we'll look at: the culture, the economic, social, physical, and spiritual aspects that were going on in the town at this writing, and then at the end, I just want to point us to a few things that can be takeaways in our own life to be able to apply this. And then maybe as you read the book of Colossians, it really can open up more to you when you begin to understand that background. And you can really appreciate the book of Colossians even more. But culturally, let's first look at culturally what was going on in that town. You know, back in 200 BC, Antiochus III, the Great, he transported about 2,000 Jewish families from Babylon to Mesopotamia into that region, and later many Jews joined them. And at the time that this letter to Colossae was written, there were probably around 50,000 Jews. Now, I know for us that are in a town of 800, where I pastor, about 800, you know, or a town of about 13,000 here in Elk City, 50,000, we're like, that ain't no small town, right? But at that time, it was in deep decline. Remember, it had probably been much higher at some point. So imagine, if you will, if Oklahoma City, I don't know what the population is right now, but if you cut the population of Oklahoma City in half, people just moved away from there. I mean, it would still be an astronomical number to us small towners. Mm-hmm. But to them, that would be a heavy, heavy blow. Half a downtown, you know, brick town would be, you know, almost nothing. You know, it would be unsustainable. So this was, you know, so that there was quite a, it still had several in it, but it was in decline. But there was also a cultural mix. It was kind of a melting pot, so to speak, kind of like America. You know, we have multiple culturals, individuals here, you know, and cultural backgrounds. And with that culture, sometimes some cultures bring idolatry with them, mm-hmm. Bring certain things with them. And so this was, this also made for a very diverse religious culture. You had the Greeks and Phrygians who were worshiping Cybele. You had who was the mother goddess of Asia, and then they were also worshiping Isis and Apollo. Then you had the a cult of Mithraism, which, if y'all know what that is, y'all educate me. I still am working on searching that out myself. And you know, and then the Jews had their synagogue. So you had a diverse religious culture plus the diverse culture of foods. Thank God for other cultures in your food. Hallelujah. I'm a foodie, so that's a wonderful thing. Y'all know where we can start getting some real good sushi around here. I'll hug your neck. But I will say I'm excited. We got Amy's Donuts and they got Bubba's. That's my plug, you know. So anyways, y'all just travel with me. I'll come back to where we're going in a minute. There is so much about culture, different cultures that can be celebrated, but sometimes different cultures can have tensions, such as religious tensions can be there. So you may have some tensions there, as well as some appreciations, but it's a very diverse culture. Economically, remember we had said the city had clearly experienced an economic downturn because Laodicea started carrying some of the same stuff that they were carrying. You know, the supply and demand chain wasn't there as much anymore. So there was likely some economic downturn among them. If some of y'all may appreciate this, some of y'all may not have a clue, but it was like a biblical Radiator Springs, all right? If anybody knows what Radiator Springs is, if you have young toddlers, then you do, because you've watched Cars countless times, the movie Cars, and you'll remember when they put in the interstate, Radiator Springs experienced an economic downturn, right? Main Street was all boarded up. The road was tore up. It was in deep decline. And so that was really what was going on here. The few stores that were there barely hanging on, probably. It could almost be depressing to go through town. You ever been in towns like that? You just like, man, there is no vision left. There is no, you have driven into a place that most people are just like, well, we're here. We're going to survive. They don't have a lot of vision, not a lot of hope. And really, that might have been some of the mindset of not the church of Colossae, but of this town in Colossae, of the townsfolks of Colossae. It might have been a lot of hopelessness. And sadly, there is much hopelessness in our world, so that applies as well to us. And then socially, again, a melting pot of religion and culture. You know, people from different walks of life, different mindsets, different economic statuses, different philosophical views. You know, I don't know if they had Republicans and Democrats at that time. I don't, you know, but liberal or, you know, conservative, you know, whatever it might have been. There's always where there's people. As the phrase goes, where there's people, there's problems. Mm-hmm. And so in a society, socially, I'm sure there were tensions at times, especially when you are dealing with people whose hope is beginning to diminish, who are not seeing much that can be done. So it's likely that there could have been some social tensions were high among some of them. It's very possible. I think their culture could have been a lot like some of ours today. In some areas, there's just a tension that it just seems like all it would take is one little spark, right? Mm-hmm. In some things, so that socially there was that, and then physically, you know, by that time, again, remember, it had diminished much due to the other two cities meeting certain needs, being more strategically placed. It was in decline, but also affected by an earthquake of 14 AD and then another in 60 AD. I mean, thank God we don't have big earthquakes here in Oklahoma. If we do, God help me to move, because I don't know where I'll move to, but right. Not California, because they have enough of their own. But, you know, I can handle tornadoes. I mean, you know, at least I can get in a basement, right?
Yeah.
Earthquakes are a little bit unpredictable. Yeah. They can, you know, so no doubt much had happened there physically. When you're in an economic downturn and then you have a physical blow like that, it's kind of hard to repair. So likely there were homes that were not on the top listings of Zillow and Realtor. You know, some of y'all might be like me and get on Realtor occasionally and just look at mansions that you know you'll never live in, never buy, and never want to buy, because you're like, I don't want the headache.
Right.
Nor do I want the stress of that debt, nor could I even afford it. I couldn't even afford a bedroom in one of those places, right? And this town was not listed on the top 100 cities to live in. It was in a downward spiral. This town was. And then spiritually, again, remember we mentioned they had multiple idols in that area that were very prevalent in the city. And that alone can bring spiritual bondage into a town, when you have people bound in idolatry. And sadly, our idolatry in our world is a lot more subtle than some of the idolatry that we see in other countries, even, you know, in Hinduism, whatever. I mean, if we could be honest, two of the biggest idols of America, I think, are money and ourselves. You know, that we, that's a little more subtle. And I mean, what you give your time and effort towards and what you pour into is your God. And so idolatry on a spiritual level, they really had, the church was facing probably tensions there because, you know, who likes losing people to something else, right? But if they're, you know, here they were preaching gospel truth, and people were coming to the faith. So, you know, some of these people were stepping away from idolatry. So, but you had a city that was inundated with spiritual bondage. So there was not only the spiritual battle in the community, but also there was a spiritual battle going on in the Church of Colossae at the time, and that was the reason for Paul's writing. There was heresy trying to be pressed into the church, and they had people coming in trying to bring Jesus down from being preeminent and being divine and just wanting to put him on the level of being a good man, a good teacher. Last I checked, we didn't kill our good teachers, you know. Miss Smith is teacher of the year. String her up, you know. No, the man claimed to be God. And so Paul had to deal with that. And so we see later on in this epistle that that is Paul's focus and in his letter. And so God anointed him. Paul, I love this, that God anointed a man who had preached to hundreds and had dealt with dignitaries and had preached to the Greeks in Rome and had stood before dignitaries and proclaimed the gospel. God uses this man and says, I want you to write to a little church that the most of the world has forgotten and let them know that what they thought about Jesus still mattered. And so that was kind of the backdrop of Colossians. And so what I'm going to do, we're going to get to application here in a minute. But I want to encourage you on this. As you read through Colossians with this backdrop in mind, I think you'll really begin to be encouraged by the words of Paul. When we come back, we'll read the first 14 verses of Colossians there, and then we'll get into the application side of things.
Prayer break?
Yeah.
Chris Carnahan has started chemo, and it's causing deep pain in his legs. And he's also scheduled to have a port placed today, so he won't have to. The chemo won't have to be administered through an IV. Loretta Pierce asked for prayers for her brother Kenny, who was in a motorcycle accident on Monday. He's heavily sedated in ICU with some fractured ribs, a facial fracture, and a brain injury they won't know the extent of until he wakes up more. Monica's cousins, the Bryant family. We need to pray for Monica's cousins, the Bryant family. Jerry Bryant has made his final move to his heavenly home. We need traveling mercies for Monica's mom, Eva, traveling back from OKC this morning. And we have an unspoken request for Monica's sister and husband, Renee and Robert.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a prayer-answering God, one who has told us that we could come boldly before your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And that is not in a arrogant way, but in a way that we are saying you're the only one that can meet these needs. And so we bring these needs before you humbly, but in confidence, knowing that you're faithful and you're true to meet these needs. And we pray for Chris Carnahan as he started this chemo. We know it's causing a lot of pain in his legs. And we just pray for that pain to be alleviated, that the port being placed will help a lot in that, and that He won't have to have that administered IV. Let all of that go well. And we just pray for his healing, that he be made whole and entire, that he may be a testimony of your power and of your healing power and your keeping grace as well. We pray for Loretta Pierce, asking for prayer for her brother Kenny, who was in a motorcycle accident. Lord, we pray for his healing. We pray, God, that you would just bring him through that. You know, he's heavily sedated there in ICU with fractured ribs, facial fracture, and brain injury. We pray that you would just reduce, if there's swelling on the brain, whatever's causing that, we just pray that that would be healed. We pray, God, for those ribs to begin to heal quickly and rightly, and also in the facial fracture, Lord, that that would be done quickly, and that he would not have to have any reconstructive surgery or anything, that you would just fix it just right, Lord, and that your name would be glorified in the end. We pray for Monica's cousins, the Bryant family, with the passing of Jerry. We pray, God, that you would be with that family, bring comfort as only you can, give them grace, give them strength, give them peace, and be with them. We pray for Monica's mom, Eva, as she's traveling back from Oklahoma City today. Just keep your hand upon her. And then also for her sister Renee and husband Robert in that situation that we don't know the details of, but you do, Lord. And we pray for your name to be glorified, that they would be able to testify of your faithfulness in the end, and that you would just meet their needs according to your riches and glory, and all the other needs that are represented that haven't been spoken, haven't been mentioned. Lord, we just pray for your will to be done there and for you to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.